92.1 WGHN, Grand Haven's favorite. We're one day closer to summer. That's the way I look at it. We'll probably get some thunder tomorrow. Look at your forecast coming up. CBS News on the way and more local news from the award-winning WGHN newsroom as well. Every time that there is a city council meeting, we bring the mayor in. Hello, Bob Manetza. How are you?
I'm great, Mary Ellen. How are you?
I'm well. It was nice last week. Everybody was out of town, so there was less traffic and whatnot on the roads.
Yeah, it was pretty quiet.
Yeah, I felt like I got a lot done because there were just less people around. And so a meeting tonight. Now, there's a work session at 7. And Ashley Latch, city manager, is going to be giving a presentation, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Something that's been talked about off and on over the past couple of years has been the possibility of going to the voters and asking for an additional millage to be approved to support the public safety department, because public safety is almost half of our budget, it's like 44% of our budget. And even at that, with all the other obligations we have and all of the things the city needs to do and some of the debt service we have and all that, it's been a struggle to properly fund that department.
Has it really?
So we have issues with some of their equipment, the building. Right now we're investing almost $1 million in there, fixing the HVAC system in their building.
Yeah.
And that was something we agreed to do last year out of our fund balance. And they have issues with, they need a decontamination room. They need, you know, for when they have to clean up after a fire or something, to clean all their equipment. They don't have enough gear. We have problems with staffing, maintaining staffing, and just maintaining a facility that's they want to work in. You know, it's kind of tough to come to work every day and work in a really second-rate place, basically.
Yeah, it wears on you, Bob.
It does, and you know, and it's tough competition for good qualified people. We have triple certification on our public safety guys. You know, mm-hmm. they're firefighters, they're also police officers,
right?
They also serve an EMT function, you know, mm-hmm. so they do medical response. They're not paramedics, but they do a lot of stuff, and they have a lot of duties in addition to ordinary police or fire duties. So we ask a lot of them, and we kind of fund them on something of a shoestring in our budget. And in the next couple of years, we're going to be dealing with a lot more stuff like Harbor Island, some of the other issues that are going to be very costly.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is to go to the voters and ask for an additional 2 mils for the next 10 years to help fund the public safety department. So it'll take some of the pressure off the general fund and also allow us to do more for them and better invest in that department. So it's a good idea, but it's something up to the voters. You know, something we can't impose.
Right.
We'll make the case for it. We'll explain why we want to do that. And this presentation will be like a beginning of that case that we need to make.
Okay.
We need to go to the voters and say, is this a good idea? Would you like to do this? And mm-hmm. then if they approve it, then we'll be in a better position.
Okay.
And if they don't, we'll keep doing what we're doing. But it would be really helpful, and it would be great support for our public safety folks to get something like this in place. But if we did it, if we were to agree to go to the voters, it'd be on the November ballot.
It would be, okay.
And so obviously it wouldn't come into play for another year. But it'd come into play about the same time that some of the major work on Harbor Island would start, and some of the other heavy stuff that we have to pay for is in play. So it'll all be very timely, and all kind of ties together.
Okay, so she'll do that at 7 tonight.
So 7 she'll make a presentation, and it'll be a fairly comprehensive presentation.
Yeah.
I don't know that there'll be a lot of discussion, but mm-hmm. if there's questions from council members, of course, that'd be a good time to ask them. But it'll also be something that we're not voting on tonight. It's something that we would be talking about more as time went on.
Okay, very good.
So that would be kind of our opening of our meeting. So mm-hmm. that's at 7, and our regular meeting starts at 7:30.
Yep.
And, you know, we'll have our usual consent agenda,
yep.
paying the bills, that sort of thing.
Got to pay the bills.
And we have an administrative services agreement with Laudit Library. We mm-hmm. took over their HR functions and their accounting functions a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And it's saved them money, and it's been good for both parties. They did all this stuff in-house. So we'll be renewing that contract.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
Yeah,
okay,
so
good.
It's been a win-win for both parties.
Yeah, we talk to them every Tuesday. We have a segment with them called Beyond the Book. So they do so many amazing things in the library.
They really do. But administratively, you know, they're doing what they're really good at.
And yeah.
We do what we're really good at.
Okay.
And so we kind of work together on that. So it's a good synergy. And then in our regular meeting, we'll be looking at our community energy plan. We had a presentation on that back in January.
Mm-hmm.
It's been kind of getting tweaked and refined, and it's finally published in its final form. So it's come back to city for adoption. So we'll be looking at adopting it with the provision that any implementation of the recommendations would go through the city manager's office. There's budgetary implications for a lot of the things that are recommended in this plan.
Okay.
Some of the ordinance review type stuff, some of the things that we would look at for possibly trying to encourage distributed energy or help people with tightening up their homes so they have better efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those things, there would be some budgetary implications that would have to be phased in over time. So it's not something that once it's on the books, it's everything immediately goes into play. It's something we'd have to figure out how to implement as money allows.
Okay.
So that would be something we would adopt. There'd probably be some questions about it. I know that it was at Green Haven Township recently, and they kind of put it on hold for a bit while they had some more questions answered. So it's kind of complex, and
yeah,
let's say it's something that's not everyday business, but it's kind of a forward-looking document.
Okay.
But having something like this on the books is helpful, because if you're seeking grants or seeking outside help,
mm-hmm,
and you have a plan in place, that's mm-hmm usually helpful. People should know you're serious and that you,
yeah,
you've thought about it. You're not just asked for money. So all that stuff kind of helps. So,
okay.
So we'd be looking to adopt that. We do have an odd one on here for an industrial facilities tax exemption for West Michigan Molding was,
mm-hmm,
down on 168th,
mm-hmm,
across the street from the airport.
Yep.
They basically went out of business about a year ago, about 2 years ago now, year and a half. And they've sold the building to another party, and mm-hmm the new party that bought the building hasn't filed the proper paperwork to renew that exemption or to transfer that exemption. And since the original party that was there, they had obligations for how many employees they would have, how much business they would do in return for this exemption. And so none of that seems to be happening now, and so it's on our agenda to revoke that.
Okay.
So we'd revoke that, so anything remaining on that exemption would go away. So
right,
they would have to start paying full taxes.
Okay.
Every time we do one of these abatements, people always question about, are you really holding anybody to the promises they made?
Right.
Well, we do. When they fail to fulfill their promises, then we revoke these exemptions, and they're expected to pay their full taxes.
Okay.
So that's on our agenda.
Mm-hmm.
We have been negotiating for the past several months with our unions. We have three unions. We have two police unions and then the public works union. And those contracts are due this year, so we've been negotiating those. We've come to a negotiation conclusion, and it's up to the city council now to ratify those contracts.
Okay.
So that's on our agenda. And there's an interesting one here for a memorandum of understanding with the Ottawa Parks and with Ferriesburg.
Yeah,
city
right
of Ferriesburg.
Over my head, yeah.
So the city owns a parcel of land. Actually, it's two separate parcels of land that are contiguous across the river where Dewey Hill is, where the musical fountain is. That's part of it, but it also extends from there to the west and to the north and all the way to North Shore Drive.
Uh-huh.
So it's a large tract of land. It's like 145 acres, and it's just unused, undeveloped dune land. It's all in a relatively natural state. We've never done anything with it. Some years ago, one of the Boy Scouts started to establish some trails out there,
mm-hmm,
as a project, an Eagle Scout project. But other than that, not much has been done. It's got some invasive species on the site. It's got some things that could be done more to make it more interesting and connect it between the Kitchilinquis Hartier Dunes and the Ottawa Sands, which is because between those two county parks. Well, Ottawa Sands is a county park. Kitchilinquis Hartier Dunes is actually a nature preserve.
Yes.
Owned by the city of Ferriesburg, but wholly within the city of Grand Haven.
Okay, I get it.
And so
okay, okay.
So this is the Ferriesburg connection. Ferriesburg owns the dune nature preserve,
mm-hmm,
and Ottawa County Parks owns the Ottawa Sands, but it's within Ferriesburg, and City of Grand Haven owns this unused parcel. So the memorandum of understanding is to set up some management practices run by the county parks to establish some trails and get rid of some invasive species and make recommendations. But it's all non-binding, so there's no obligation on the part of the city to either spend money.
I see.
It doesn't compromise our property rights if we were to try to transfer the property, sell the property, anything else. It has nothing to do with any of our rights to do anything with the property.
Okay.
But it's just kind of a management agreement that carries no particular financial risk for the city. So it's pretty much neutral to the city, but a very positive thing that we could be doing for that parcel in its current state.
Well, good.
And the idea is to connect it, have a green space connected all the way from the North Shore of the Grand River all the way up to Hoffmaster Park.
Okay.
So it's a long, contiguous plot of land, several plots of land
right.
that all connect together as a natural corridor.
Nice.
And so that's what this MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, is all about. But it's a great idea. We were approached with it last year.
I think I remember that,
And so we've talked about it, and now it's come back around for approval.
Okay.
And so, like I say, it's great that they reached out and they wanted to work with us on this.
I agree.
And so so that's on our agenda to approve.
Hey, I see Lakeshore Pickleball Club is going to have a pickleball tournament August 14th.
Yes. So we approved a pickleball tournament previously, but now they want to add to it using Lynn Sherwood Stadium here for demonstrations and for an event the night before.
How fun.
So that kind of ties in with their pickleball tournament. So this is actually on our agenda as an amendment to the event that we already approved.
Got it. Okay.
To add the Lynn Sherwood Stadium piece of it.
Awesome. And then the alcohol sale profits will go to homeless prevention partners. So a shout out to Lakeshore Pickleball Club's event.
Yep.
I only have about 3 minutes. We have to talk about dredging because
yes.
I had that story. I sent it to you on Friday. And Rep. Hillary Skolton had even chimed in.
So there's a couple of things
going on.
There's a couple of things going on with dredging. One is we've already talked, I think, about the inner harbor. Now, the inner harbor starts roughly at where the city marina is and goes upstream.
Yes.
So basically from Harbor Island going on upstream.
Yes.
And that's an issue with Eagle is requiring sampling of the river bottoms, sediments, before they'll permit dredging on the inner harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tied up with the Corps of Engineers. The Corps has recently come back and said they're not interested in doing it. And if they're not willing to do it, then there's an impasse between Eagle and Corps of Engineers. We're stuck in the middle and we can't get dredging done until they figure this one out.
Ugly.
So that's a problem. The outer harbor is dredged separately.
Okay.
With the outer harbor, when they dredge that, they take those sediments, and that's mostly just sand.
Okay.
And sometimes they put it on the beach, sometimes they just put it farther out in the lake. And so there's going to be a very limited dredging on the outer harbor. From what we've heard from our local Corps of Engineers, Liz Wilkinson is our local contact at the Corps here in Grand Haven. She's told us that she anticipates that in June we'll get a very limited amount of dredging right at the pierheads. So where the shoaling occurs out there, right where the river jumps into the lake, there will be limited dredging. Those deposits will be placed out in the lake south of City Beach, and they won't come very far upstream. They'll come basically up along the piers and just deepen the channel right there. But it'll be very limited because the funding is very limited. And that could change, too, because things are in such a state of flux and chaos and turmoil at the federal level as to what's going on.
That's what Rep. Skolton said,
We can't predict anything anymore, but the last thing we heard was that there would be limited dredging just at the pierheads just to keep it possible for ships to come in. But as the dredging gets delayed and put off, both in the outer and inner harbor, it affects the amount of freight that can come in here. We get a lot of aggregate that comes in, used by road commissions and for a lot of this
it all
infrastructure
trickles
work.
Down.
And so all those things, the prices will go up as we, as you bring in freighters that are half loaded or when they reach a point where they can't even get in, if it comes to that. I mean, with the inner harbor, now we're looking at no dredging this year because all the funding is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not there's dredging next year depends on whether Eagle and the Corps can figure it out. And it might be the year after that before we get dredging. And so this is going to get to be a very critical situation for the city. And the city is, all we can do is go to our political representatives, go to our administrative people in the state and federal level and, plead for help. Because that's really about all we've got. But it's going to be a very, very severe consequence for the city.
I do know budgeting for the U.S. Army Corps is expected to be released by the end of April 2025. So here we are. It's the 14th. We'll see what happens at the end of the month. We're out of time.
All right.
I got to wrap it up, Mayor Mineta.
Well, thanks for having me then.
Thanks for being here. I felt like I hadn't seen you. It had only been 4 weeks, but it felt like six or seven.
Well, normally we meet every 2 weeks. And so
that's
this
what
time,
it was.
There were five Mondays in March.
Yeah.
And then we delayed our April meeting because of spring break.
There you go.
There we go.
That'll do it.